You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is the Talking the Star podcast. As always, I'm your host, Connor Lives. You're here with my co-host tonight, Dalton Miller and Cole Patterson. Make sure you're following us all on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft, at Dalton B. Miller, and at Cole L. Patterson. Do us a favor and follow the podcast on Twitter as well, at Talking the Star. And make sure, as always, you're following Blogging the Boys on Twitter, at Blogging the Boys. Our last podcast wasn't too positive. We kind of went on a vent. We vented all podcasts. We were pretty hard on the Cowboys for the most part. But today we're going to prepare everyone for Sunday Night Football, where the Cowboys take on the Eagles. And, you know, I'll go ahead and give my opinion on it. If the Cowboys do pull off a win, I feel like next week will be a lot more positive than we were last week. But we're going to get into that matchup today. First, how are you guys doing tonight? You guys doing all right?
Not doing bad. How are y'all?
Yeah, you know, not the best day in the world, but it could be worse. Got my parents coming in tonight. They haven't been down to Texas in like 2 years now, so it's going to be a good weekend.
That's good. I'm getting sick, and we're going out of town this weekend for a wedding, so as you said.
Oh, is it a wedding you're excited for, or no, can you not say it on this podcast?
Fiance's friend that I feel like she doesn't even know that well, so should be great. Should be awesome. Just can't wait for that weekend. But
God, it's even worse. You don't drink, or I mean, you can have a lot of fun watching, I guess, though.
Yeah, so that's gonna
at least you got that going for you.
Yeah, and it's gonna be the icing on top of the cake when the Cowboys lose, or it's gonna be, you know what, that wasn't so bad if the Cowboys win. So that's gonna be the overall deciding factor on just how terrible or how good my weekend is. So,
well, are you at least going to a cool place? Where
we are going to Nashville, Tennessee, so could be going to worse places.
Yeah, definitely.
We're definitely excited to see some new things and try some food and hang out in a cool town. But other than that, meh, I'd rather stay at home. But good thing my fiance doesn't listen to this podcast. So, but yeah, let's if I keep talking this way, I'm going to end up on the injury report. So let's talk about the injury report for the Cowboys and Eagles this coming up week. A lot of banged up bodies on both sides for both teams. But Dalton, I know you got that bad boy open in front of you. So let's go through that thing and see if there's anyone that concerns us more than others, and kind of see if maybe we get a little bit of an edge over the Eagles.
You know, let's do it. Okay, we're going to start off with the Philadelphia Eagles this time. I don't know if we've ever started off with the opposing teams. So I feel like we need to switch something up. It's kind of like a baseball player has to do something to get out of the slump. I know that the Yankees are trying to get out of the slump right now because they suck. So I'm going to try to help the Cowboys out here. Nigel Bradham did not practice. He's a linebacker. Did not practice with an ankle injury. Fletcher Cox did not practice, but it was due to illness. Hopefully he can stay ill until Sunday and then feel better after that. Ronald Darby was limited in practice with a hamstring injury. DeSean Jackson did not practice with an abdomen injury. They're not hopeful that he will play on Sunday, or it's not looking good, apparently. Timmy Jernigan, foot injury, did not practice. So those two big defensive tackles both did not practice on Wednesday. Avante Maddox, concussion neck, did not practice. Jason Peters did not practice. I also believe that it looks like he's not going to play, which means you are going to get the rookie going up against Quinn this week. And then you also have Darren Sproles with the quad, did not practice. On the Cowboys side, You had Dorrance Armstrong, who was limited with a neck stinger. Anthony Brown has a hamstring injury. He did not practice. He might not play. That's good for the Cowboys because that means Jordan Lewis gets to play. Randall Cobb with the back injury didn't practice, but he's day-to-day. Lyle Collins did not practice with the knee. They are not hopeful about him. Amari Cooper, ankle, quad, foot, like literally everything on his lower body is injured. He did not practice. He's going to be day-by-day, day-to-day as well. Travis Frederick did not practice. It was not injury-related. Not sure what happened there. I didn't get any. Did you guys hear anything about why? It was just a personal matter, right?
I haven't heard anything. I mean, I wonder if it was just a vet day for him. But
no, I think I heard this morning it was some sort of personal matter. But hope everything's okay there, obviously. Michael Gallup was limited with a knee. Byron Jones, hamstring, did not practice. He's looking a little bit more hopeful to play. Chris Jones with the back was limited, which shouldn't matter because we shouldn't need to punt against Philadelphia. Anyways, Sean Lee with the knee was a full participant. Zach Martin, back, ankle was limited. Tony Pollard was a full participant with the knee. And Tyron Smith with an ankle did not practice. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 guys on the injury report. And out of those 13 guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of those are starters.
Cole, out of that entire roster list that we just went through, which ones worry you the most?
Regarding the Cowboys?
Yeah, we'll get a better feel. You know, unfortunately, the way we record this podcast, we don't really get a good feel for game day inactive actives with the injury report. But, I mean, you can kind of, you know, obviously from what happened last week for the Dallas, you can kind of look at it and see, you know, who's probably going to be more of a risk to not play than others. But which ones worry you the most?
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about the offensive line just because obviously we need them to block the Eagles' defense line. I know Fletcher Cox is dealing with an illness, but still, I mean, in order to win divisional games, it always seems like you have to win in the trenches, especially when it comes to Dallas. Dak and the offense has struggled without Tyron Smith out there. Obviously, Lyle Collins was off to what some were calling an all-pro start to the season. If you can get one of those two guys in, obviously Tyron Smith much more likely, but Brian Broaddus is still skeptical about that. So that does worry me on Sunday, because I think, as we all know, the Eagles secondary is very, very porous, and you can attack them with ease. So if the Cowboys want to be able to succeed in that way and succeed through the air, Dak needs some time to set in the pocket and some time to throw it downfield. So I think the offensive line is really worrisome.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I think going back watching the coaches film, I think the offensive line might have played a little bit better than I initially thought live. I mean, again, the blitzes, that was obviously an issue last week, but I did think that Fleming played a little bit better than I might have gave him credit for, and then same thing with Knight. I think the interior of that offensive line is still going to have some issues, and when you go up a player, go up against a player like Fletcher Cox, it's going to be a rough day. Dalton, I wanted to ask you, the secondary for Philly is absolute garbage, and that's probably putting it nicely, but they still have Fletcher Cox, they still have Brandon Graham, they still have some guys on that defensive line that scare you. How worrisome are you that Fletcher Cox could completely wreck this football game for the Cowboys offense?
Well, I just tweeted about it because I'm actually right now rewatching the Vikings-Eagles game. And my analysis from the Eagles defense is that Fletcher Cox is good at football. I don't know if you guys know that, but he could be an issue, and he could be an issue especially if he ends up lining up primarily or at all on the left side of the offensive line. That could be a very big issue for the Cowboys because he is very good. And what Connor Williams' issues are right now is that he's just too aggressive. He's so far forward. Everything is forward. He's not I think the transfer from tackle to guard, it's not an apples to apples thing. And left tackle to right tackle wouldn't be an apples to apples thing either. It takes time to learn the position. And He's just too aggressive with trying to get his hands on guys. Because at that position, if guys come off quick, off the ball quickly, then you need to have your hands ready to go. But you need to be able to time up that strike. And he is right off the snap way too often against good defensive tackles trying to reach to them because he believes they're going to come off the line quickly. Those defensive linemen are seeing that and being patient off the line and using their hands and their technique to beat him immediately. Not right away with penetration, but with the hands and then the explosion into the gap. And that's the issue that we're seeing with him. And Fletcher Cox is probably, what, the second or third best defensive tackle in the NFL behind Aaron Donald?
Yeah.
And honestly, against the run, he's probably better than Aaron Donald is against the run. I mean, Donald is obviously the most ridiculous player, most athletic player in the NFL, you know, pound for pound. But Cox is an absolute monster. And it's not just him either. The rest of that defensive line has names all up and down it as well. So I am afraid of that. And more than anything, I'm afraid that the Cowboys aren't going to care. And that they're just going to try to run it down their throats. And with two offensive tackles being out, they go, oh, we can't protect. We need to protect Dak by running the ball. And that's the wrong thing to do.
That's what I was going to say, is that I think that they're going to look at it as, oh, we won't have time to throw, so let's just run. And then you're not going to be able to run. And then you're going to be second, third, and long. And then wonder why your offense can't generate anything. And that's just, it's the wrong way to do it. I mean, you can get the ball out quick in the passing game with more efficiency than you can with running the football into a brick wall. You know, it's obvious. It still kind of maddens me that they just don't use a screen game more, especially with such an aggressive off-the-field front.
I know. I've been trying to tell people. I've been trying to reach out to the Cowboys on Twitter for like three – since the injuries, really, to try to work the quick game, run tunnel screen. I mean, you have Tavon Austin.
Yep.
Run some bubble screens to him and just get him the ball quick and see what he can do after the catch.
Even Michael Gallup, who's so strong after the catch, just get him the – you know, when they're in zone coverage, get him the football. I mean,
Michael Gallup, get Tony Pollard on the damn field. Like, him not getting over 10% of the snaps is ridiculous.
And I just actually finished an article for Blogging the Boys where it's talking about how this is the week to use Tony Pollard because the Eagles don't see a lot of tape on Tony Pollard. You know, outside of the first 3 weeks, you can't really go back and say, hey, these are the plays he can make. This would be the perfect week to kind of spell Tony Pollard as the, not the number one weapon, I'm not going to say that, but as a guy that you could probably get some things done with because the Eagles don't know how to defend him yet. And Cole, I wanted to ask you, is there a guy on offense that you think would be the go-to guy this week? You know, with Amari possibly not going to be there to play, or if he is, he'll be dinged up. Is there a guy that you just say, let's get this dude involved? You know, they did it kind of last week with Tavon Austin. But is there a guy this week that you think can kind of take advantage of the Eagles' defense and go, let's make sure we get this guy involved early and often?
Yeah, so I guess it was last week's first show, the first show of last week. We were kind of talking about Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup being one of the better wide receiver duos in the league. I remember us talking that Michael Gallup was either a really, really low-end wide receiver one or really, really high in wide receiver two. And I think this is the kind of game where the Cowboys and Michael Gallup proved that he can be a wide receiver one potentially in the future, that he can be a focal point of an offense. He obviously struggled at times against the Jets. He dropped some passes that he normally has caught and brought down this season. But I think this is the kind of game that can get him back on track. I think Dak and Gallup are on the same page this season. They missed a few times during his rookie season, but that has kind of cleaned itself up for the most part this year, at least on the deep shots. And I think this is the kind of game that they can take advantage of with Michael Gallup. He's a guy that can, similar to Amari Cooper, he can stretch the field, but also hurt the defenses in other ways as well, on different kind of routes in the middle of the field, on quick routes and stuff like that. If Amari Cooper doesn't play and if he's unable to go, I think Michael Gallup's your guy. And don't think the Eagles have anybody in their secondary that can really slow him down if Gallup is on his game.
I wonder if they go back to a guy like Tavon Austin, who showed some good things last week. You know, unfortunately, he had that illegal formation penalty called on him. But outside of that, you know, he was probably the one of the only bright spots of the offense. You could see his speed. You could see his after the catch ability. Showed off some route running. So, you know, I wonder if he's a guy as well and kind of attack that Eagles secondary. You know, get him the ball. You know, when they are in zone coverage, get him the football and then kind of let him use his speed, because we've seen that Eagles secondary really struggle to cover, really struggle to tackle, really struggle to make any plays whatsoever. Dalton, I want to ask you that same question before we get a break. Is there anyone on the offensive side of the ball that you go, let's get this guy involved and let's get him involved early?
I mean, you got to establish the run, man. So, like, yes, get Zeke Gannell. honestly, man.
30 carries?
Yeah, honestly, yeah, exactly. 30 carries is an auto win. I only got 28 last week. No, I want to see more Blake Jarwin, man. I want to see more Blake Jarwin. I want to see him out in the slot. I want to see him out wide, outside the numbers against some of these corners who, I mean, quite honestly, I'm watching them right now, and they just the Minnesota Vikings just shifted, okay? And put there was they were in a tight split, and they motioned a wide receiver across the field all the way outside the numbers, and literally not a single defensive player moved out there with him. He was just out there by himself until right before the snap, when Sidney Jones was like, oh God, there's a person out there. Like, I'm telling you, like, that is how bad the miscommunications are on this defense. So there will be people open, like open enough to where like I could hit them with a pass in the NFL if I had time to throw it. So just try to work the seam. Try to get some quick throws outside. And if you have to use two tight ends, spread out the field instead of bringing it in. Get him, as in Jarwin, against a linebacker, and let him go to work.
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Dude, isn't it crazy how the narrative has shifted on Blake Jarwin from last year when we were trying to get him fired?
Well, I think at the end of the season, we were like, wait, this kid's kind of got something. Beginning of the season, definitely. Beginning of the seasons, we were like, this guy sucks. I mean, like,
yeah,
that was
like, well, and they're still doing that thing where they're putting tight ends in line and trying to ask them to block defensive ends, and they can't.
How about my boy Dalton Schultz with the catch of the game last week, just getting lit up, still
balling? Yeah, wrecked.
I saw that today, and I was like, yikes. That's tough for your first catch of the year, but we're going to take our break and come back. It's going to be a little bit shorter podcast today. We're all got stuff going on, so we're going to take our break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about this game and get you ready for Cowboys Eagles Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a big game, probably the first, I guess you could say, must win game of the year for Dallas. So we'll be right back after our break to preview Cowboys Eagles. We'll be right back.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And we're back on the Talking the Star podcast. As always, I'm your host, Connor Livesey, here tonight with my co-host, Dalton Miller, Cole Patterson. Follow us all on Twitter at ConnorNFLDraft, at Dalton B. Miller, and at Cole L. Patterson. Do us a favor, follow the podcast on Twitter at Talking the Star, and also do us a favor and follow Blogging the Boys on Twitter at Blogging the Boys. Thanks to those guys, Vox Media, for allowing us to host the podcast and talk about the Cowboys positively, negatively, however we want to talk about them, they let us do it. So always appreciate those guys as well. Got a few more minutes left to tonight. I want to break down the Eagles offense, something we have not talked about yet. And I think you could say that the Eagles offense has been a little bit of a disappointment this year. I know they've had some injuries. I know DeSean Jackson hasn't been there for a little bit. Alshon Jeffrey was missing for some games, but this was an offense that was supposed to have a MVP caliber quarterback, you know, a highly drafted running back in Miles Sanders, who's had his ups and his downs, and then a receiving core and tight end core with Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson. A lot of people hyped up Nelson Aguilar, Mac Hollins, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So they had some dudes on their offense, but it's kind of struggled. It's been a struggle bus for those guys lately. I got into a little bit of the Eagles offense today, not a ton. I watched some of their Week 2 game and some of their Week 3 game. Dalton, I'll ask you first because I know you're looking at the game now, and then we'll get to Cole as well. What worries you about that Eagles offense?
Yes, so I actually went through and wrote up a whole thing on Carson Wentz earlier in the year when I had Cowboys fans in my mentions talking about how he was trash, and I was proving that he wasn't. And then the paper just got kind of out of hand, and I had to go through and like talk about him and Foles, and I didn't feel like I was the best guy for that job, so I just let it go and never published it. But I watched a lot of his early stuff, and then I've watched the last couple of weeks as well. And I mean, honestly, guys, Carson Wentz is still, you know, a top eight quarterback in the NFL right now. Yes, he does a little bit of what Dak does, you know, or did last year with holding on to the ball forever. And it's not with him. It's not because he's not throwing with anticipation or anything like that, because there are times where he shows that he can do it. He does it more on like broken plays where he's escaping the pocket and he's got a guy coming down on him. Like he's a guy who is going to run straight into the sword. And that's why he gets injured so often, because he just puts his body out there to get killed. And I mean, it's admirable, and it's stupid at the same time. So he's still very, very good. What worries me is Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch trying to tackle Miles Sanders. And no, Miles Sanders has not had a great year yet so far. He's getting a little bit better as he goes. I mean, just kind of getting up with the speed of the game at the NFL level. It's been a little bit of a struggle. Like I said, he's getting better, but he makes people miss, and that's what makes him so dangerous. I think Jordan Howard has kind of had a resurgence behind that offensive line in Philadelphia as well. So obviously the running game is going to be an issue, because it always is. I think part of the issues with the offense early were the issues at running back to start the year, and then they also had worse injuries at the wide receiver position than even we did here in Dallas. And then they, you know, they obviously had the game where both DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey were out. And then Jeffrey was not the same for a couple weeks before and after that as well. So they're just kind of getting back to it. I do think that as long as you have Byron Jones, Chido Ruzier, and Jordan Lewis out there, you're going to be okay. But if you're playing with a somewhat compromised Byron Jones and a somewhat compromised and already bad Anthony Brown, we're going to have issues in pass defense as well. And then you also have to realize that Jeff Heath is one of your safeties. So, like, yes, I'm worried about the defense. I think that the Cowboys are going to have to come out and open it up, because if they don't, I think it's going to be another one of those games where they're down 24-6 by the middle of the second quarter, and we're all standing around with our thumbs up our butts going, what the hell has happened, besides all the rushing on first down?
Cole, I want to branch off a little bit from that same question, but ask, Zach Ertz hasn't had the dominant season that I think a lot of people expected from him. You know, he's been solid, but not really, you know, the elite tight end that he is. With Jeff Heath, you know, likely covering a lot of him, with Xavier Woods likely in coverage a lot on him. I guess my question to you is, how would you defend Zach Ertz, and then how do you think that they are going to defend Zach Ertz, and do you think that that's going to work out for them?
That's a good question. Yeah, it seems like this defense could be a medicine for Zach Ertz and him playing well this Sunday, which is something you don't want to see. I feel like Byron Jones would be a good option to put on Zach Ertz. I think he can body him up. I think he has the size and the length to match up well. If I was the Cowboys, that's who I would have. Defending the tight end, because I think he can make some plays. Byron's had two up and downs this season, but he's still a really good corner that can make some plays when needed. He can he can lock down one side of the field, which is why I don't think they'll put him on Ertz. I don't know what they'll do. I guess they'll put a combination of what you're interested in, Jalen Smith. They might throw Xavier Woods on him. Obviously, Zach Ertz is a huge option for Carson Wentz, and if he gets going, that usually means the Philadelphia Eagles offense is playing pretty well, and that means Carson Wentz is feeling himself, which is something a defense does not want to see, particularly a defense that just let Sam Darnold get off the couch and throw for over 300 yards. So I think if I was in a situation, I think you would put Byron Jones on Zach Ertz. I think you can get away with doing that against the rest of the Eagles wide receivers. It'll be interesting what they do. I think he's their number one guy, and I think he could have a big game if the Cowboys aren't careful.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that we've seen in the past on money downs, like third and longs, yeah, and things of that nature. We've seen Byron Jones match up with Zach Ertz. My issue is with the injury to DeSean Jackson. Are we going to see any J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? Because that kind of brings in another matchup issue when it comes to the corners on the outside, with you know, Cheeto on a bigger receiver, obviously, and Alshon already being a bigger guy. And then you have to have Jordan Lewis matched up on somebody as well. Matt Collins isn't small. And then, obviously, if Arcega-Whiteside is out on the field, he's very large. So you have a little bit of a mismatch there, even though J-Lew is a great cover corner. He just doesn't have the size and the length to match up with those big guys.
Yeah, I know some years in the past when Lewis played more, like, I remember, I don't know if it was rookie year or second year, when Evan Engram was kind of bursting onto the scene, they would use Jordan Lewis to cover Evan Engram on third downs, mm-hmm. and, like, he locked Engram down.
And with all the 12 personnel that the Philadelphia Eagles run with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, I'm interested to see how much base the Cowboys run compared to how much nickel they run. Because it might be a game where Jordan Lewis really doesn't even see the field that much because they're in so much base. Or even a better idea, think about this one, maybe you run some big nickel and bring Donovan Wilson on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they'll do that because the defense is stupid and doesn't do anything. But yeah.
We got Jeff Heath playing single high, 10 yards deep on a – yeah, that's – That play, I didn't even include that in the article I wrote today because it was so bad. But, like, literally you look at Jeff Heath on the play, the 92-yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson, and he's playing, like, 11 yards off the ball.
Dude, he's a single high.
Doesn't make any sense.
He was just hanging out.
Yeah, it was like, are you playing linebacker? Or is the only line of defense left? And he just ran right by him. But, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about real quick before we get out of here is I really, going back, looking at the tape, watching, you know, these games from the coach's film, I really want to consider, and this might sound a little reckless, but I'm just going to throw it out there. I really might want to consider moving Jalen Smith to Sam linebacker and putting Sean Lee back as the Will. And even looking at Sean Lee as the Mike, you know, because right now Sean Lee just looks like he is not anywhere close to the same player he used to be. And maybe he's not, but playing him at Sam, it takes away his ability to use his instincts to make plays on the football. It puts him more in a physical and pairing position to where something he's not good at, you know, it's kind of playing him out of position because you think you have guys like Van Der Esch and Smith who are so good at the other positions that you kind of have to move Sean Lee to the least important, you know, in quotation marks. And I really wonder, with the level that we're seeing from Smith and Van Der Esch, if making that move and putting, you know, I would put Lee back to Will and move Jalen to Sam and play Leighton Van Der Esch at the mic. I think it could give your defense a little bit more opportunities to make some plays, because right now Jalen and Van Der Esch just aren't playing to the level that we're used to, and Sean Lee's really struggling as a Sam. Well, I think Jalen Smith has the potential to be a very good Sam linebacker because he's such a physical guy coming forward. You know, he's struggling sideline to sideline. He's struggling with his instincts right now, and I think maybe that's something that Sean Lee would be a little bit better at. What do you guys think about possibly making that move at some point if Jalen Smith doesn't pick up his play?
Put his hand in the dirt and make him play defensive end. Take everything away from it. Just put his hand in the dirt and make him play D end.
He just doesn't.
I actually like that idea. I honestly don't like the idea of either Sean Lee or Lane Van Der Esch playing the mic. But, I mean, somebody has to do it, and obviously Jalen Smith is not doing a great job at it right now.
And he's so more somebody fit has for to do the it. Sam and, than the other two.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah.
But I think he's also better fit for the mic as well. I would say that Leighton Van Der Esch is, but I mean, honestly, Leighton Van Der Esch just isn't the most physical player in the world, even at 6'4", 260. Like, even though he is a freak of nature, that he's not a bruising type guy. So you want him to be able to use that athleticism that he possesses to move. Putting Sean Lee back at Will would be probably what is best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cole, what's your thoughts on that? Would you be inclined to see that? If so, you know, what would your combination be there with those three guys if you were to make a move?
I'm kind of with y'all. I think we just need – I mean, Jalen obviously needs something to change. I don't know if it's position change, like as far as Will, Sam, whatever he needs to do, or if it's just like – we haven't seen the same Jalen as we saw last season, so I don't know what's not clicking. I don't know if it's him not wanting to be injured. I don't know what it is. He was flying around the field against New Orleans, and I wish we saw some more of that since then, but we haven't. Obviously against the Jets, he was spinning in circles, wasn't sure what to do. Against the Packers, they kind of made him a non-factor. He was unable to help in run support. So I'm kind of with you. I think that would be a good idea, and I think it would, at this point, I don't think it could hurt this defense.
Yeah, I agree, guys. All right, that's all the time we're going to have for today. We didn't want to get too deep into this. You know, it's a pretty simple, you know, thing for the Cowboys. They either go out here and win this game Sunday night, or they really, 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 really hurt themselves for the, you know, playoff picture and the future standings of this football team. It's weird because these two teams have been very comparable this year. I think you can kind of look in different ways, but you can say the quarterbacks have played around the same level. The receiving cores have played well and at times let these quarterbacks down. The running games have been pretty inefficient. The offensive line play has been a little spotty. The defense for both sides for different reasons has struggled. It's just been a lot of the same for both sides of the ball for these teams, and I think that this game could end up coming down to some coaching decisions. And Jason Garrett has had a rough week. He's been drilled. He's been tested by some media. He knows he has to come out and make a improvement in that area of the game, and if he doesn't, you know, it you never know. It could be a short season for him. So I wonder if he comes out this week and tries to step it up a notch, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing in my opinion, but it could come down to a coaching decision, a coaching clock management thing. We'll have to see, but these teams are very, very comparable, very, very close in talent. But you got to think that the Eagles got the coaching edge, and we'll see if Jason Garrett wants to come out and do anything about that. But again, that's all we're going to talk about today. We will be back next week after the Cowboys hopefully take sole possession of the NFC East and head into week eight against the New York Giants. Two division opponents in line, a couple more weeks until the bye week, which they desperately need with all these injuries. But we'll see you guys next week. We are Talking the Star.